From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where, for the first time, voters have just elected a woman and a person of color as mayor, Michelle Wu.
We're ready to be a Boston that doesn't push people out, but welcomes all who call our city home. We're ready to be a Boston where all can afford to stay and to thrive. And yes, Boston is ready to become a Green New Deal city.
GBH Radio's Adam Riley has been following this race and others for months and is with me now after what I'm guessing was a late night.
It was a pretty late night, although we learned the results on the early side. Anissa Sabi-George conceded around 10:30, I think. Then Michelle Wu gave her victory speech. And then, of course, I had to write a story, which made things get a little bit late.
Well, we appreciate you doing that, Adam. And the Wu train, as it's often called, was leading the pack all along. But Michelle Wu won big by nearly 30 points. Was that a surprise at all?
I don't think it was. The polls in the weeks before the election had been pretty consistent, showing Michelle Wu with a really big lead. I think the margins ranged from, say, the mid-20s in terms of percentage points to the low 30s. You always wonder toward the end, oh, is the race gonna tighten? Have we not seen polls conducted right before Election Day that might have shown things getting closer? Anissa Sabi-George had asserted that the polls weren't reflecting the depth and intensity of her support and that the race was going to be closer than people thought. But as it turned out, it was basically, I want to say, a landslide for Wu. She won, and she won convincingly.
So, Adam, I want to put a really fine exclamation point on this. For the first time in 200 years, Boston has elected a woman and a person of color mayor. How big is that?
Yeah, I think it's a huge deal. As you said, for two centuries, white men have run Boston. They've tended to be, at least in recent history, Irish-American white men. So it's remarkable what Michelle Wu has done. It's implicit, by the way, in what you said earlier, but she's also become the first Asian-American mayor of the city. I do want to point out that there is still frustration among some Bostonians that we've seen yet another election cycle come and go without the city electing a Black mayor, which has still never happened. None of the three Black candidates, Kim Janey, the acting mayor, City Councilor Andrea Campbell, and John Barrows, the former economic development chief, none of them made it past the preliminary election. And I think a lot of people are still smarting over that. Still, though, no question that Wu's win is historic. I also want to point out she is the first mayor in almost a century who didn't come from Boston, who wasn't born and raised in the city. Wu, as many of our listeners will know, is the daughter of Taiwanese immigrants, and she graduated from high school in suburban Chicago, then came to Massachusetts to go to Harvard College. Anissa Sabi-George tried to make that something of an issue in the campaign, and it didn't work. And I think that's a big deal, too.
Yeah, that's right. She did harp on that a little bit. And I mean, what does it say that Boston didn't make that a quote-unquote job requirement this time around?
Well, for one thing, the city's demographics have been changing a lot in recent years. Boston is now majority people of color. And there is a huge population of residents who aren't even from Massachusetts at all. Nearly two-thirds of adults. That's a number that I think includes college students. So it's a little bigger than maybe it should be. But it still indicates just how many people have come to Boston from elsewhere and decided to make it their home. Also, I want to point out that Wu is following, with her victory, in the footsteps of Ayanna Pressley, another woman from the Chicago area, who then came to Boston, made a life here. She was a city councilor before she became a congresswoman. It seems pretty clear that we've reached a point where Boston voters are more interested in credentials and in a candidate's vision than they are in where their politicians were born and raised.
And Wu is also said to be ushering in a new progressive era in this city. Talk about that.
Well, that is her plan. And now, of course, she has to make it a reality, which may be challenging. She's identified some very big and very ambitious goals, making the T free, bringing back rent control or rent stabilization, by which she means capping the increase on rents. She also wants to create a Green New Deal for the city of Boston. Some of those things and other things that she plans to do, she will be able to do on her own. But for others, she'll need help from other branches of government. Asabi George tried to make the case that Wu's plans taken in aggregate were unrealistic and that she was misleading Boston voters. It will not be easy to make her vision a reality, but I do think the fact that her win was so big and so emphatic is going to help her as she tries to do that.
Let's circle back to Anissa Asabi George for a second, Adam. Were there any big takeaways from her concession speech last night?
Well, the first thing that struck me when I was watching was that Asabi George seemed like she was having a really hard time acknowledging that she had lost. She was thanking her supporters in great detail. She was thanking her family and talking about how it was a challenge for her kids to have a mom who was running for mayor. Then, though, when she finally did say that she'd lost and congratulate Michelle Wu, I thought she did a really nice job pulling back on the idea that you might be less of a Bostonian if you haven't spent your whole life here. Asabi George said, and I'm paraphrasing, but I think I'm pretty close, some of the, as she put it, scrappy, hardworking people that I had hoped to represent as mayor were born here, like me. Some of them instead chose to live in Boston when they could have lived in any other city in the world. And the city needs all of them to get to where it needs to go. And I thought that part of her speech was pretty impressive.
All right, before we let you go, Adam, I want to zoom out to another big race nearby, this time in Framingham, where historic incumbent Mayor Yvonne Spicer, who was also the first mayor of the city when it became one and is Black, lost her re-election. I know you and Matt Baskin talked about this last week, but was the outcome expected?
I just want to underscore before I answer that Spicer's election was a really big deal because, in addition to what you just mentioned, she was the first Black woman to ever win a citywide mayoral election in the history of Massachusetts. And I believe she's still the only one. That being said, her defeat was widely expected. She had lost by about a 2-to-1 margin in the preliminary to a former Framingham city councilor named Charlie Sisitsky. There are two different narratives here. Spicer, when I interviewed her before the election, said that the old political guard in Framingham was out to get her from the outset. She also suggested that race played a role in their attitude toward her. Sisitsky and his supporters, and they include a lot of local politicians, some of whom are quite progressive, say that Spicer just didn't do a very good job running the city. They say she mishandled COVID, that she shortchanged the city's schools. Framingham is another community which, like Boston, has grown significantly more diverse of late. So it'll be really interesting to see what the political future holds there and whether Spicer's election turns out to have been an anomaly or whether we see political leadership continuing to diversify, even though she lost in this round.
Well, one universal silver lining, Adam, is that even when elections end, politics don't go away. So I'll look forward to talking to you about this again sometime. That's GBH Radio's Adam Riley. Thank you so much.
I look forward to it as well. Good to talk to you as always, Paris.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. A man arrested during Monday's sweep of a homeless encampment around Boston's Mass and Cass corridor was denied medical treatment and sent to Worcester County Jail, where staff are handling an ongoing COVID outbreak. 33 prisoners and 2 correction officers tested positive on Sunday, according to Sheriff's Office Superintendent David Tuttle.
So we shut down half the jail, so it's 2 housing units that we kind of quarantined everybody.
Maxwell Kolodka was arrested at Mass and Cass and brought to a makeshift courthouse in the Suffolk County Jail as part of Acting Mayor Kim Janey's efforts to bring people off the street and into shelter. Orrin Nimney of Lawyers for Civil Rights says prisoners' rights are being denied.
You're sending people who might have other medical conditions along with their substance use issues to jails and prisons where there are COVID outbreaks.
Criminal proceedings for those arrested on Mass and Cass continue throughout today. In other news, the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts is reacting to Facebook's announcement that it'll shut down its facial recognition software. The ACLU's Cade Crockford says regulations are needed to keep private companies and the government from tracking people with the technology.
To ensure that when we're moving through the subway system, we're not being pervasively tracked through our face by the MBTA or the Boston Parks Department or in our public schools by individual public school systems.
Crockford says the ACLU is backing two bills in the Massachusetts legislature that would rein in the use of facial recognition technology. And finally, the MBTA's new dedicated bus lanes are getting mixed reviews. The lanes running down the center of Columbus Avenue in Roxbury are the first of their kind in the region. Resident Brian Green says he's happy so far.
Helps out with traffic as far as, you know, you have your bus lane. You're not getting a whole bunch of traffic, you know, with cars.
But some people, including motorists, say it's made their drive down Columbus Ave more complicated. I think it's safe to say that when it comes to Boston traffic, you can't please everyone. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since driving during rush hour and listening to this podcast, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey, there's another show here at WBUR that's very dear to my heart. And why is that, you ask? Well, because I used to work on it. That show is WBUR's Radio Boston, our local daily news magazine, and it's another way to get a whole bunch of information about what's happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.